star. I know you're watching me, yeah.
When the storm is raging,
when the storm is raging,
and my hope is gone,
and my hope is gone, Lord.
When my flesh is failing, you're still holding on.
Mirror, mirror, mirror on the wall, telling those lies, pointing out your flaws. That isn't who you are. That isn't who you are. It might be hard to hear, but let me tell you, dear, if you could see what I could see, I know you would believe.
Yeah! His tabernacle, how are we doing today? Well, good morning, His tabernacle, how are we doing today?
You don't have a car, then you don't need a sticker. You're in good shape. Saves your money. Do you have a car? Amen. I got 8 His Tabernacle Family Church stickers left. You have a car?
Thank you.
Oh. All the way from Rochester. You got one? Oh. Nick, go get 3 more. Guys, go out to Nick right now. Go out to Nick right now and get one. Hey, go out to Nick and he'll give you one. Praise the Lord. How's everybody doing this morning? It's going to be a great service. Oh my goodness, the Word of God is going to challenge your life. You're going to love it. Are you ready to worship Jesus? You're awful quiet this morning. I said, are you ready to worship Jesus? Listen, you had more sleep than the early service. So you should be all pumped up, ready to run around the sanctuary, worship God with all of your heart. Are you ready? Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare that you are awesome. God, you are the risen Christ. And today, we are celebrating you in our victory, our walk with you. We know, Jesus, that we cannot fail with you on our side. So fill us full and fresh with the Holy Ghost. Then when we're done this service, Lord, we'll go out into this world and take back what the devil stole. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
shout it out. I am free. Come on, guys. Turn to your neighbor and just high five him and say, I'm free if you believe it. Come on. Hey, amen. I'm free. Yes, sir. It's so amazing to have freedom. Hallelujah. So we're going to sing the chorus over just one more time. Sing, I am free.
I am free to rise.
Sing, I am. dance.
I am free to dance.
Yes, I am free to live for you. Come on, let's sing that again with everything that we have. Through you the blind will see. Through you the mute will see. Through you the dead will rise. Through you our hearts will praise. Through you the darkness flees. Through you my heart screams, I am free.
Come on, I want to hear you guys repeat after me.
Sing, I am free to run.
I am free to
run. And I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
Yes, I am free to live for you.
Come on, let me hear you sing it out.
Sing, I am free to run.
I am free to run.
Yes, I am free to dance.
I am free to dance.
And I am free to live for you.
I am free to live for you.
Sing, I am free.
Come on, shout out for your freedom, guys. Whom the sun sets free is truly free indeed. Come on, guys. I thank you, Jesus, for overcoming on the cross for us, for what you did on that day. Now we are able to be free. And we have victory, Lord God. So thank you. Come on and sing it with me if you know it.
Seated above, enthroned in the Father's love, destined to die, poured out for all mankind.
Sing God's only Son.
God's only Son, perfect and spotless one.
You guys sound amazing.
He never sinned.
Sing all authority.
All authority.
Time.
All authority, every victory is yours.
Come on, sing it out, Savior.
Savior, worthy of honor and glory.
Sing worthy of all. It out. His name is Jesus.
Jesus, awesome and powerful forever. shout. And we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome. Come on and sing it out. Sing all authority just one more time. All can never be victory. Hey, it's yours. Come on. Every victory. Yes, it's yours. Come on, one more time. And your name is Jesus, awesome in power forever, awesome and great is your name, you overcame. Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Within, through the way things appear, you're
Responsibility of the worship team is getting you from here in the flesh on a Sunday morning to in here. See, the real challenge is every one of us all week long and about been around the cussing and the swearing and the lifestyles that aren't godly, and maybe some of you've flipped up, man. You've made some really poor choices, and you come into the house of God, and you know you're doing it out of principle, and that's awesome. Remember, we talk about principle over persuasion. You want to be here because this is where God touches and changes you. But the real job that they have is taking you from here with the songs. Listen, they sing good, but let's be honest, it's not about them singing. It's about them leading you and I here. Now the question is they can be there, but amazingly, there are many that will just stand and watch. Man, I hope on the day that we're raptured, you know what I mean? None of us are going to be standing there going, hey. We're going to be shouting, we're going to be dancing, we're going to be singing. Well, why? Because we're in His presence. But He's here today. And many of us are still just observing and watching and not participating, which means you're staying here. Now, the challenge with that is this. When the Word comes, it doesn't penetrate as deep. When God wants to do something supernatural in your life, you're not positioned. You've heard the old statement, get under the spout where the glory's coming out. It's an old, old statement. You know you're old if you remember that one. But if you're going to put your cup, if you're going to fill your cup up with water, you're not going to put your cup on the other side of the sink than the faucet. You're going to put it right underneath the faucet. And what happens is then you fill the glass. And that's what worship is for. It's to bring us to that place where, man, our flesh is in subjection, our mind is in captivity, our focus is on Christ. It's all about you, Jesus. And all of a sudden, we start getting filled up in our spirit. And now we're prepared. Now we're ready. Man, so the seed, the word, when the seed lands, it doesn't land on hard, parched ground, but it's saturated, ready for the word of God to take good, good root, and now can produce 30, 60, 100-fold. So you see, I just want to challenge you. You see, next week is going to be different, because next week, either you're going to do the same thing or it will be different. And the only way to make it different is for you to make a choice. What is it that's holding me back from stepping in? What is it that's holding me back from going from the flesh into the spirit? Is it my week? Was it my day? Is it my wife? Well, hey, you know, I understand. No, I'm just kidding. You know, is it problems that I'm having? What is it that's holding you back from the presence of the Lord? Because listen, honestly, everything you and I can do can't fix your problem. The only one that can fix the problem is Him. So when you stand on the outside of the veil, then you're not stepping into where your help comes from. So you got to step in. And that is not determined by them. It's determined by you and I saying, I don't care what's around me. I don't care what's happened to me. I don't care what my problem is. This I know. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, Jesus. There's nobody else that matters. I come back center, Christ. I'm coming back to you. You're my focus. Nobody else matters. And when you do that, man, you step into the Spirit. It's different when you step in the Spirit during worship. It's different because it's not words anymore. I've heard people complain before, why do they got to sing the same song over and over and over again? That just shows you're not in. Because you can sing the same song for hours if you're in. Once you get in, nothing here matters because it's you and Him. And when you are tied right to Him, nothing else seems to matter all the way around you. Time takes on a different place. Remember we talked about eternal time versus what kind? Linear time. Linear time is what we live in. Well, you know, it's 11, 24, and 46 seconds. Shouldn't they have been done in worship by now? But when you're in that eternal time, man, hours go by and you're just lost. That's what you want. You can have it every day. The sooner you learn how to do this, leave the flesh behind. You can have these moments in your shower. You can have these moments in your car. Not just in church. But the amazing part about church is when we can all get to that place together. The Bible says, in the day of Pentecost, they were with one heart and one accord. And then all of a sudden, the power of God was just erupting in the place. And this is why we do worship in church. We don't do it for entertainment. You know, worship is not for entertainment. This is to take us there. So the least amount of people that go, what ends up happening is you call it almost like a dead service. You know, that's why you can go to a church and you call it a dead church. Why? There's no move of the Holy Spirit. Well, who constitutes the move of the Holy Spirit? Not the Holy Spirit. He's always ready to move. It's you and I stepping in. And when we are now, He is our focal. He is the one. It's just you and me, Jesus. Then everything changes around us. Time takes on that different look, feel, and then it's just you and Christ. And that's what He wants to do in your life. That's what worship's all about. Because honestly, if it's just a matter of just singing, then I would cancel that part because I can't sing. And what I would do is I'd just preach. We'd have, wow, would that be awesome though? 2.5 hours of preaching. No, I'm just kidding. Whoosh. I'd be happy. So here we are. Where are you right now? What's holding you back from stepping in? What's holding you back from the heart of worship? What is it in your heart, in your mind, in your life that right now is that obstruction? That's what I want to do. I want to sing this one. Listen, if you don't address that, then you'll come back and worship the same way you did this week. And it might be just wasted time. So today I want to ask you to do something. I want you to ask yourself a question. What's holding me back from stepping in? What is it? What's happening in my life that is now taking a higher position than it's all about you, Jesus? And I want to sing that song again. Some of you need to grab some rugs. Some of you need to stop hanging around the people you're hanging around, even though Christians. Some of you need to go find a wall somewhere. Some of you need to kneel somewhere. But I just want to sing that song one more time. And I want you to just tether with Christ. Just you and Jesus. Just you and Jesus. Just you and Jesus. If you're next to somebody and they're making you uncomfortable, then go somewhere else. There's a big building. Stay out of the kids' wing. Find a spot. Just you and Jesus. Amen? So let's sing that one more time. Just you and Jesus. Grab some rug. Grab a chair. Go find a corner. Let's worship. The heart of worship. All about Jesus.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Is healing someone's sciatic nerve right now, going down your right side, your buttocks, and God is healing you right now. There's another individual, you have a skin problem on the left side of your nose, and it just itches and irritates, and God is healing you. He's giving you brand new skin right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, God, that you love us, and Father, we speak to the organs of the people that are in this room, their organs. And God, we declare in the name of Jesus that their organs will be healed in Jesus' name. Father, we know that there are some dealing with diabetes. And Lord, we speak to the pancreas. Hear me now, pancreas, in the name of Jesus. I command you to act properly and produce the proper dimensions and the amounts in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are a healer and that, God, you are great and you are powerful. Father, we speak right now to people's hearts, and Lord, we declare that their blockages, that right now you release them right now in Jesus' name, that their hearts will not have problems. God, we declare also in the name of Christ, Father, the fogginess of the mind, we speak to it right now in Jesus' name. Someone also has an ear problem on your right side. God's healing it right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you love us, and God, you are so intricately involved in every facet of our being. Lord, we ask that each one of us will come to that realization that you love us so very, 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 very much. As an individual, you're in a very unique crossroads. You're getting ready to make a major decision in your life, and you you see some opportunities and options, and you're ready to jump. And the Lord says, don't jump yet. Be led by my Holy Spirit. I will give you either peace or the lack of peace as a directive. And you'll know it might not make sense to anybody else around you, but you'll understand exactly when you get to that destination why I set you up in that situation and in direction in Jesus' name. Father, we just pray that right now in the name of Christ, that Father, as we bless each other just by saying hello, as we become brothers and sisters in Christ, and more than just, Lord, just passing by and waving, Father, I pray that you'll unify this church, your church, to do your kingdom's work, that people will be changed forever. Just one more word of knowledge. Someone's having problems on your index finger and your left hand down in the knuckle. If you start moving it, you'll find that the arthritis is leaving and that you'll have freedom and liberty of movement. It will not freeze any longer. And what happens, it actually freezes in spot. And God's going to loosen that up and set you free in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, why don't you take a few minutes, go find somebody you don't know this morning and love them on them and say, well, good morning. I've made a decision. It's all about Jesus in this place.
Hey family, has Jesus been a blessing to you this year? One of the things that you're going to find in Scripture is found in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. It says, freely as you've received, freely give. One of the things that we're going to be doing special is taking an offering specifically for Jesus, saying, happy birthday, King Jesus. These envelopes we're going to actually be handing out right inside your bulletin, and we'll be taking up the special offering on December 24th for our 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. services. One of the things that we've been doing all throughout this year is talking about the generous church. This is your opportunity to live generously by giving back to Jesus.
I am so excited to announce that we are going to have a No More Hurt seminar right here at His Tabernacle Family Church. It's based off of the book No More Hurt, written by our very own Pastor Ron Dispenser. This is open to both men and women. So if you're interested, the dates are January 19th from 6 to 9 p.m. and January 20th from 9 to 2.
Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree. Yes, sir.
Stay on topic.
Okie doke. Sorry about that. Listen, we have our normal Christmas Eve services coming up, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We're having our Christmas production called Keep Christ in Christmas with a live nativity scene where we get to play with those aminals. Anyway, so make sure you're inviting your friends and your family to come out to our Christmas Eve services. Again, 9 a.m., 11 a.m., just normal Sunday service. And then Christmas Eve night at 7 p.m., we're having our candlelight service. So make sure you're inviting. Oh, I want to one out. Invite your friends, invite your family. Make sure you're here.
anticipation. I'm so looking forward to next year's theme. Actually, I heard that Pastor Spencer slipped a couple weeks ago and said it. So if you were really super paying attention, you might already know what the theme is. But December 31st, for our New Year's Eve service, come out and that will be announced. We just want to welcome our guests to the house today. If it's your first time, if you'd raise your hand, we're not going to embarrass you. We just have a gift we would like to bring you. So if it's your first time in the house, raise your hand right up and someone will come to you. Thank you so much, ladies, and bring a gift. If you're watching via live stream, gentlemen, thank you. If you're watching by a live stream, we want to welcome you from all over the world. We appreciate you joining in with us, and we know the presence and the power of God knows no distance. So thank you. Welcome for joining us on live stream this morning. As we enter into this time of prosperity, I want to remind you, as Pastor Dan announced, that we have the red envelopes. Ushers, if we could get some of these set up on the altar. These are for our gift for Jesus for next Sunday morning, which is Christmas Sunday already. It has snuck up on us. So make sure you're inviting everyone you know. But make sure you and your family get one of the Happy Birthday King Jesus envelopes, as we are going to prepare as families a gift for our King. It's the only one that has a birthday where everybody else gets gifts on that birthday besides the one that's celebrating. So we as a family are going to make sure we bring our special gifts for the King next Sunday morning. So make sure when you come up for your offering, if you haven't gotten it in your bulletin, that you come grab one of these envelopes and prepare your gift as a family to bring next Sunday morning. So we're talking about prosperity this morning, and I love this time. I want to share some of the things, if I could have Tammy Sumi come up, some of the things that we do in this house that you do as being a part of this house, because many of you don't know all of the great things that we get to do as a church family. So I was talking to Tammy this week, and I got filled in on some of the really exciting things. We had a coat and hat and mitten and boots giveaway for our kids that come on Wednesdays and Thursday nights. And one of the young men, his mother messaged back in a huge thank you because he was so proud of the winter coat that you gave him and so appreciative. So a thank you from the families that you gave to. We also feed on Wednesdays and Thursdays. How many children approximately?
Between 225 and 250 per week.
That's every single week. We as a family are feeding young people in the community. Now you have to hear, Tammy was telling me about one young man that comes, it's one of the teenagers, and he's always, he's always hanging out with the security team. I think that's one of the last resorts that it gets to, but he's always hanging out with the security team. And I want Tammy just to share, when she talked to him, what he said.
When he was asked why he came, his response was, "If I don't come, I don't have anything to eat."
So really, as a church family, we are providing food for these people. And you know what's awesome? They know in God's house is where they're blessed. They know in God's house, that's where they're fed. That's where they're clothed. That's where they're loved. And then Tammy was telling me about Darlene G. Where are you, Darlene? Darlene G, can you stand up for a moment? She was telling me about Darlene G's class, which is
absolutely amazing. Kindergarten through second.
Kindergarten through second grade. Now, these are kids that have been cast aside by society and live in poverty. And Darlene has just such a love for these kids. These kids eat cold food every single week. But it's not because we serve cold food. It's because they refuse to eat until every single one of them has had the opportunity to stand by her side and say a prayer. They love to pray. These little children are being, you know, the food is nothing. I mean, it's everything for them, but it's the spiritual content that we're able to give that is so incredible and so powerful. tell about the clothing giveaway. See, we do all these things, and I don't even know if you know what happens in this place. We recently had a clothing giveaway that you donated towards, and we're able to bless the community.
Yeah, so we had that a couple weeks ago out in the foyer, a Monday, Tuesday giveaway, anybody that wanted to come in. We had over 35 families the first day that were not church people that received food or free clothing. And along with that, Pastor Chad led four people to the Lord just that morning. We're going to be doing another one of those, but we need to replenish clothes. If you have clothes, drop them off in the kitchen anytime. Not outside in the bin, in the kitchen, please.
Amen. And right now we are giving toys to 150 of the kids. And Pastor Spencer reminded us in first service, Finger Lakes Harley Davidson in Alpine Junction has coupled with your generosity and has been incredibly generous. They've donated $250 plus the Hog Harley Owners Group. Oh, I got it. They also have matched that and given $250, and they're providing gifts for 30 of our children. So even the community, the generous community, has coupled with your generosity to be a blessing to the children. We've paid mortgages and rent payments and NYSEG payments. You as a church are truly a generous church, and your generosity has been able to go all the way down through the ages and blessed in so many different ways. And if you would like to be a part of Matthew 25 or the outreach, see Pastor Chad or Tammy Sumi, because that is a powerful ministry to get coupled up with. Thank you, Tammy. Oh, go ahead.
You'll be blessed more than you're a blessing. These kids will change your lives.
Amen. 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 And everybody that's in Matthew 25 will say a big amen to that too, how it's really transformed them. So how does this apply to us? Let me read the word of the Lord to you. So Proverbs 19:17, it says, whoever is generous to the poor, which is what we just talked about, all the generosity that you as a church give to the poor, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. That is so incredibly excited. When you choose to be generous to the poor, the Lord himself will repay you. And when the Lord repays, it is supernatural. There's a story in the Bible I was just reading this morning about a woman. It's not the same woman that had the little meal and the little oil and made it, and her oil never ran dry. Another woman who was a widow and had two sons. Her husband left her in great debt when he passed on. And the debtor was the person she owed was coming to take her sons away as payment for this debt. So she went to the man of God, and the man of God says, "What do you have?" "I only have a cup of oil." And he said, "Go get as many vessels as you can get." And she and her sons went and got as many vessels. They obeyed what the Lord had said, got as many vessels as they could. She poured out the oil and kept pouring and kept pouring and kept pouring until they had no more vessels to fill. And then she was able to take that oil and sell it, pay off all of her debt, and keep her sons. Now that is supernatural debt reduction. That's what happens when the Lord repays us for our generosity. I want to walk in the Lord repaying me, because then it is supernatural. If you're ready this morning to participate with the supernatural power of God over your finances, stand to your feet. And every week, we just repeat the word of the Lord, and then we bring our gifts to the Lord. So when we're done with our supernatural declaration, bring your gift forward and put it in the baskets. Maybe you're new here, and this is a little bit different. We don't pass the bucket and shake you down in your seat. You bring your gifts joyfully to the Lord, knowing when the word of the Lord says is true, the Lord will repay your generosity. So let's make our supernatural declaration from Deuteronomy 28. Repeat after me with prophetic passion the word of the Lord. If I obey, then I am blessed going in.
I am blessed
blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button, give right along with us, or even text to give.
Praise the Lord. Boy, I can't wait to preach. You know what? The problem with first service is I was running out of time, so I had to preach really short. Now I can preach 2 hours and no problem, right? Yeah, I thought so. We do want to remind you, for Christmas, a great Christmas stocking gift would be Pastor Rhonda's book, No More Hurt. And we also have only 3 Truth Rock Solid Faith Blue Books left. If you'd like to get one, they're in the foyer. Hard to fit into a stocking, but it's a good stocking stuffer. So we have blue and red books available for you out in the foyer. Make sure you grab some to sow into the lives of other people. This is the year of... Boy, that was so sad. This is the year of... That was still sad. This is the year of... Generosity, and you are... Oh my goodness, you are a generous church. Last year in 2016, I can't wait to hear what happened in 17, but in 2016, you gave $320,000 of a $1.2 million budget. That means you gave almost 30% to house, to bless, to encourage, to strengthen people all over the world. You are a generous people. You are a generous church. And you know, there are a lot of folks that tell me, Pastor, we should just not do as much outreach. And I said, then let's just close the building and go home. Because for me, this is all about saving souls. Can I hear an amen? Amen. All about seeing lives transform. And whether people like it or not, it costs money to do that. Amen? Amen. So you are, shout it out loud, I am the generous church. That is the truth. You know, today this is my last portion of the series dealing with the season. And the first was the season of forgiveness. Jesus gave us, by coming on this planet, the season of forgiveness. How many of you are glad your sins have been forgiven? Well, I guess not everybody. We'll have an altar call here real soon. How many of you are glad your sins are forgiven? Amen. How many of you are glad that you forgave yourself? How many still need to forgive yourself? I have some more hands. Oh, Jesus. Amen. How many of you are glad that you were able to forgive somebody? How many of you had to go out of your way and forgive somebody in the last few weeks? How many of you was really tough? How many of you are really free now that you did it? Amen. Isn't it awesome? Last week we spoke about the season of deliverance, how God does not want you bound to anything besides himself, that there are no restrictions and God has blessing for your life. And today I want to talk about the season of great gifts. Do you realize in just a few days we're going to be opening presents around a tree? And I want you to know that this year I think I finally outdid my wife. I'm telling you, you are going to be so excited about the gift that I got you. You're going to be so happy. In fact, I went and took back a gift so I could buy this one because I can't wait. How many of you love receiving gifts? Yes. You know, everybody says, well, it's better to give than to receive. I don't know. I like the receiving part pretty good. Pretty good at this. You know what's amazing is our reception from the Lord really depends upon how you view him. You know, we did a whole thing, this being the year of the generous church. We started off this year really focusing on this principle. And that was this: whether you believe in a poor God or a rich God. And the fact is that most believers, they really honestly believe, we won't say it out of our mouth, but we pray accordingly, we live accordingly, we act according, that our God is poor and poverty stricken rather than who he absolutely is. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and there is no lack in heaven. How many of you are glad there's no lack in heaven? You see, until you recognize how you view, because how you perceive is how you receive. If you perceive God as poverty, if you perceive God as weak, if you perceive God as just a religious God, then how you receive from him is very little. Why? Because you don't believe he could actually meet your needs. But when you see your God for who he actually is, high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple, that God has everything, and there is nothing that he cannot provide for us, and that he longs to provide for us. He longs to forgive. He longs to heal. He longs to deliver. He longs to bless you because you're his babies. Now, I don't know about you. I'm so glad my God is not weak. I'm glad my God is strong. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 17, I love this verse because it immediately attacks the perception of people. Now, again, many of us believe, and we won't say it out loud, but we believe in the God of weakness. We believe in the God of poverty. We believe in this God. We won't say that out loud. We live it. And we live it because, honestly, some of you have been trained that way. You've been taught that God is not able to meet your needs. You've been taught that God does not always want to touch you and heal you. You've been taught almost like the roulette wheel of luck within the kingdom of God. And that is the poor God. And I want you to know that he is a miserable God to serve because you might as well be your own God. He's unable to meet your needs. But when you truly know the one and true God, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who was and is to come, the one God that's high and lifted up and his train fills the temple, when you truly know him and all of his majesty, then you recognize there is nothing that he's not able to provide for you and your family, that God is not only able, he's willing. James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, from whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. What does the word every mean? All, everything. Every good gift, every single gift that you get from God, not one less, not one more. Every gift you get from God is guaranteed to be something specific. Let me show you what it is. Every good. The word good there actually literally means excellent, happy, joyful. Every joyful gift that you get, every happy gift that you get, every blessing that you get, listen, it does not come from the devil. It comes from the Father of lights. The Bible says every good and perfect gift. What's the word perfect mean? It means and there's no flaws in it. And what's the word gift? It means a present. It means you can't earn it. Listen, the problem with serving the poor, poverty-stricken God, you are an ugly, ugly God. I'm sorry. Just had to say that. But when you serve the true God, the one thing you'll recognize is this, is that every good gift, every gift that your Father in heaven gives you is not only going to be good, it's not only going to be perfect, it's going to meet your need. And he longs to do this in your life. You know, I get really bothered, I guess it will be the right verbiage, mainly because of the lack of either understanding or poor teaching. You know, when people say, well, you know, well, God brought this sickness on me to teach me some spiritual good, well, then that's your God. When people don't tithe, that's your God. Because if God can't meet you, come on now, if you can't trust God with your money, you'll never trust God with your soul. Amen. See, it all comes down to how you perceive God to be. And this is the challenge that we have. If every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, then the one thing that you've got to recognize about your God is that the inventory of heaven does not possess a bad gift. You know, you can go to a store and they can have bad inventory. But when you go to heaven, there is no bad inventory. In fact, what I love so much about heaven is this, is that in heaven, there is no lack. Watch now. In the Garden of Eden, before there was sin, there was no lack. And God created that for the pleasure of mankind. There was everything that was needed. Everything that you desired was in the Garden of Eden. When man sinned, we know that a curse came upon the land. But the one thing that I love about Jesus, he who became a curse for us became that so that we don't have to experience it. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13. And that Jesus came to destroy the curse of the law. Well, what is that? And that is what you didn't have, what you lost in the Garden of Eden, God will restore to you now. And that is not just relationship, but that is that you don't have to have lack. Lack has never been a blessing. Boy, I'm so glad I have nothing. I'm so glad I'm poor. I've never heard a poor person say, I'm glad I'm poor. I've never heard a hungry person say, boy, I'm sure glad I'm hungry. Praise the Lord. Never heard somebody that can't make their bills, boy, I'm so blessed by God because I can't pay my bills. Never heard that. But what happens is when we're unwilling to believe who he has called us to be and who he is, then our perception of who he is, we diminish his capability of meeting our every need, which he desires to touch. He desires to release from the heavens, but he cannot release without faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is believing that what God has for you is for you and that you can obtain it. But what happens to many believers is we slide so much to the flesh because we've been taught incorrectly that we look to God and say, well, you know, if you find it in your heart to help me, I wish you'd do that for me. But if you can't help me, I understand, you know, your grace is sufficient for me. And so all of a sudden, you got a bunch of believers that are running around, man, and they're whooped all the time. Why do you think the people of the world would want the God you serve when he's this? Even the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, the Bible says in Psalms 105, there was not one sick among them, and they took all the money, come on now, they took all the money from the Egyptians. They didn't even walk out of Egypt, not one of them sick, 2.5 million people, but they didn't walk out poor either. You see, our mindset has been so twisted and contorted by religion, and we've got to have a revelation, not the revelation of church, not the revelation of religion, but we need a revelation of our God, and our God is so massive, our God is so grandeur, our God is so great, our God is so powerful, our God is so rich, our God is so good. Man, I tell you something, when you know your God, there's nothing you can't do. Man, that's what I love about him. You know, when you start recognizing how he lives. You know, the Bible calls us the children of God. You know, I was telling you the other week about my granddaughter. My granddaughter's birthday. And she's 3 years old. She's smart as a whip for a three-year-old. And you know what she asked for her birthday? She says, I want a pink car. You know, one of the ones that drives. Well, you know what? If you asked her, and people did, they said, Hi, Sophia. What are you going to get for your birthday? And she would say, a pink car. There was no question in her mind she was going to get a pink car for her birthday. So on her birthday, of course, she got a pink car. So here she is. She's standing over in the corner, and Pastor Cody and I carry in the pink car, and we set it down, and people are there with the cameras, and she ran over to the car, got in it, but she really wasn't like enthralled, excited. I mean, at first I thought she was going to go, oh, a pink car. She was going to run and jump in the car and hug the car and hold the car. She didn't do any of that. You want to know why? Because she knew she was getting the car. Did she see the car? No, she couldn't see the car. It was hidden. She didn't know she was getting it in the moment, but she knew in her spirit. Come on now. You see, we've got to come to God as little children when we recognize that our God is able to do abundantly above all we could even ask or imagine. You see, God wants us to imagine because she declared those things which were not as though they already were. And man, when she got her car, she was so, it was normal. I remember one time, my children, my 4 and 5 year old, they were, I was getting ready to go to the Newfield Covered Bridge Market, and they said to me, Daddy, can we have a lollipop with bubble gum in the middle? And I said, sure. So I went to the store, and I came back from the store, and there the two are. It's a split level house. They were standing at the top. And when I walked in the door, this is what they did. What happened? They knew they were getting it because Daddy said he would. You see, when you recognize how good your dad is, they didn't even question that they were going to get a lollipop. My granddaughter didn't question she was going to get a pink car. Why? Because she knew we were able. And listen, if we weren't able, we would have made it happen one way or another. Because you see, when you recognize how good your daddy is, God is not going to withhold one good thing from those who walk uprightly before him. Psalms chapter 84. Here, let me show you how big your God is. God lives in opulent splendor. The splendor of heaven is amazing. You know, if we could just get a glimpse of heaven, we would all sit back and just gaze at it and its opulence and its majesty and how powerful it is. You see, what's amazing is that God surrounds himself with the most precious gems and the most precious stones. He doesn't even have to go to Kay Jewelers. Went to Kay Jewelers and looked at a, see, now I'm going to tell you what my wife didn't get. Because I went to Kay Jewelers and I bought a bracelet last year, a floating diamond bracelet last year. And this year I was going to match that. And so I went in there and I picked out, it was a necklace and it was a floating diamond. And I'm looking at it and I said, how much does this cost? And they told me, and I went, but for God, a diamond is just no big deal. He is surrounded with sapphires. He is surrounded with diamonds. He is surrounded with the greatest of gems. There are diamonds everywhere. It's no big deal. God lives in opulence. God lives in splendor. There is nothing that God does not have. There is no lack in heaven, and gems are nothing. God walks on streets of gold. Man, think about this. For the gates of heaven, they're gigantic pearls. God said, I need gates. Can I have some pearls, please? Can you imagine the size of those oysters? I'm talking, it's one, just one. It's one pearl on each side. They're just massive and just glorious in what man can see. God's altar is gold. The candlesticks are gold. The lavers are gold. There's no aluminum in heaven. God's throne, as far as you can see, is covered with what? With crystal. There's so much crystal in heaven. There's even a sea of crystal. I want you to recognize this. I'm just trying to get you to see it in your mind's eye. The opulence that your Father in heaven lives in. He's not lacking. He's not poor. He's not poverty stricken. He's not saying, how am I going to keep heaven open? He's not wondering if he's going to make the bills to keep the lights on, for he is the light. Man, he's not wondering if there's ability to keep hell out of there, because he has all authority and the devil is already defeated through Jesus Christ. You see, it's so powerful to realize that your God is great and he's not weak and he's not poor. Can I hear an amen? Amen. The greatest gift that God gave us was Jesus. How much greater? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We couldn't have got a greater gift than Jesus, to have our sins washed away, to be able to be called sons and daughters of the Most High King. You know, what's amazing is when you start looking at this poor God, this religious God. You see, what's really sad is, well, Pastor, I go to church, but I don't expect anything from the Lord. I just give him my heart, and I don't expect anything back. You're a liar. How many of you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why? You wanted to be saved. You gave to get. How many of you tithe? Why? You give to get. Well, I don't give to get. Yes, you do. You want to be in the open heaven. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Everything we do, we give to the Lord. There is a reception or a receiving from the Lord back to us. And God isn't saying, well, you know, Gabriel, I'm hoping that we got enough in savings to help those guys out. This God over here is saying, well, I don't got enough in savings. You know, in fact, when they start giving out gifts, what you're going to find about this, what do you got there? It's a used. This God over here, when you start asking for help, he's got to go to the recycling bin. Do I got enough available in the recycling bin? Do I got enough in heaven's quantity to be able to help somebody else? Well, you see, the fact is that we might not say that, but we live that. In fact, when it comes time for Christmas, many people believe this God to be just like this. He pulls out a gift that he's got to give. And how many of you wouldn't mind a gift this morning? Amen. Ready? So here he is. He goes to the dollar store and said, let me buy a gift for somebody. So he's got more than one person that wants a gift, but he doesn't have enough to make everybody's needs. So he's just going to take care of business. Go ahead. Why don't you go give those gifts out? So the only way for God, the only way for the poor God to meet your need is he's got to start breaking the gift up and giving it out piece by piece. Oh, Lord, I need your help. Well, you know, when I get time. Oh, God, I need a healing. I hope you hit the luck, you know, the roulette wheel of love and luck that maybe it's your turn to get healed. Oh, God, I need my mortgage paid. Oh, God, I need my bills paid. Oh, God, I need a new car. Well, you know, we're just trying to make it up here in heaven, too. You're asking too much. You're missing a shoe. No one believed for one. You know, I hear a lot of believers say this. Well, you know, God put this sickness on me to teach me some spiritual lesson. This is your God then. Well, you know, God's leaving me in this position and, you know, I'll just, oh God, you know, you'll help me through, I'm sure. But if you don't, you know, though he slay me, yet shall I serve him. You see, our minds have been so twisted from the truth. And we've got to come back to the truth. The truth is that God has everything that you need. And he has given us the right to be called children of God. Listen, on Christmas Day, like I said, I can't wait. I can't wait for my sons to open the present that I bought them. Why is that? Because I know they are going to love that gift. I can't wait for my wife to open up her gift. I know she's going to love her gift. My daughter, I don't know. I haven't bought anything for her because my wife does all that. But as a parent, I can't wait. Listen, if you earthly parents know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father wants to bless you? We've got to get out of this poverty mentality. We've got to get away from the poverty God. And we've got to come to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who lives in opulence, who desires to bless those who are called his children. I want you to recognize today that you are not weak, but that you are strong. You don't have to just barely make it by. God wants you to go over the top and God has a plan to bless you because you're his favorite child. You see, as King's kids, you know, you and I have all seen that. You know, we've seen a rich kid. Maybe you're the rich kid in the room. You know, on their 16th birthday, they drive in with a Corvette. Mommy and Daddy bought them a Corvette. On your 16th birthday, you got a Huffy. And you looked at the kid with the Corvette and said, yeah, I got a Huffy. And the kid with the Corvette said, yeah, I got a Corvette. Do you know what's amazing? Is the kid with the Corvette probably isn't even enamored with the fact that he got one. Why? Because it's normal to him. It's normal because his father is wealthy. It's normal because there's wealth in the house. It's normal because there's no lack. But what happens for those of us who struggle with the poverty mentality, we look at that and we become envious, where that individual says, well, that's normal for me. God wants to make blessing normal for you. God wants to make divine favor normal for you. God wants to make his outpouring of his spirit, the outpouring of his love, and the outpouring even of blessings in normal things on this planet, a normal thing for you, because you're a child of God himself. Revelation chapter 5 verse 10 says this. It says, as kings and priests, you are a king and you are a priest. Show me a poor king. Show me a poor patriarch. Well, Jesus was poor. Oh, no, I'm sorry. You need to get that CD, because at the beginning of the year, I proved that Jesus was not poor. You see, this is that religious mindset that has gotten us to lay hold of this poor, poverty-stricken God who can't meet our needs. And we don't pray like we should. We don't live like we should. We don't stand like we should, because we don't believe that he's able to back us up. He's able to bless us. He's able to heal us. He's able to deliver us. Yes, he'll save us from our sins, but that's all he's able to do. But I want you to know that God didn't just save you from your sins, because if you were just going to be saved from your sins, you'd die when you got saved. But God left you on this planet to live as more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ our Lord. You aren't here to survive. You're here to thrive. You're not here to just barely make it. You're here to go over the top. For if God is on your side, who could ever overcome you? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, you're called royalty. We had a class in a Bible college. It was called etiquette. Yeah, I didn't do good. They actually taught us and what forks to use and where to place the cups, and not only just set the table, but the whole facet is, if this is what they say, if you eat with a king, this is how you do it. And it is amazing. You end up eating with, you know, in our position, we've eaten with some very high officials, not only in America, but in Mexico. And if you didn't know etiquette, you know, you're sitting at the table, you start burping and passing gas, it don't work. In fact, it gets right down to, when I went through coaching training, one of the things that they taught me was, it's the pen you use when you sit before a king. Actually, the king then determines whether you have kingship or you are royalty or whether you are poverty, even by the writing instrument that you pull out to sign a piece of paper with. It's amazing how we've just gone into survival mode as believers, and Christ didn't call us to be survival mode. He called us to be examples on this planet. He called us to be people that, as he blesses, listen, the children of Israel, the Ites did not like them, but the one thing the Ites always recognized, for those who don't know what the Ites are, the Jebusites, the Zebusites, the Isites, the Uzites, and the Whosites, and that was a Whoville. I mean, we got all those Ites. All the people coming against the children of Israel. But one thing the children of Israel, they were always recognized for, was God was with them and God was on their side. And they always lived with great blessing. You see, when they lived under that open heaven, they always had the blessing of God. That open heaven is a key to your life. I'm almost done. John chapter 1 verse 12, you are children of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 17, you are heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. An heir means that when you get to heaven, you get all that heaven has. But a joint heir means this. As a joint heir of Jesus Christ, it says this. Whatever Jesus has, you have. Where's Christ? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. What does Christ have? There's no lack that Christ has. That means you and I don't have to live in lack. Can I hear an amen? The Bible calls us, Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, citizens of heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, you are ambassadors for Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 37, you are more than a conqueror. You aren't a conqueror. You are more because Christ Jesus already paid the price and already whooped the devil. Mark chapter 9, verse 23, there's nothing impossible if I believe. Psalms 84:11, no good thing will I withhold from those who walk uprightly before me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't know about you, man. For years, I was indoctrinated by the religious folks of the denomination that I was participating with. And man, when I started getting so frustrated, I started going to the Bible and I started realizing how great my God is, how my God can't wait to heal me, how my God can't wait to set me free from bondages and sins that I struggle with, how my God can't wait to bless me with finances, how my God can't wait so that I can have more than enough so that I can give to every good need that comes in front of me. How my God can't wait to bless me in my ministry and my calling and my purpose. How my God can't wait to bless my family and my children. How my God, I can go on for weeks. How my God can't wait to bless me. When I started realizing that, my prayers changed, my beliefs changed, my position changed, how I talk changed, how I walk changed. You see, actually, this is what they teach. Physiologically, and that is how you hold your body, also shows who you believe you are. They actually did a test, and it was very interesting. They took an individual, and they started tearing down this individual for about 10 or 15 minutes, telling them they were worthless, telling them that they had no value, just breaking them down, telling them that they were idiots, so on and so forth. By the end of that time, that person literally, physiologically, was slumped over. You see, how you hold and posture your body determines who you believe you actually are. People say to me, well, you know, that Spencer, he's just so pompous and he's just full of himself. And that pastor, he's just so proud. You know what? I'm not proud. I just know who I am. You see, I can walk with my head high and my shoulders back. I can put a step in my gait because I know who's for me. And I know that no matter what, I can't fail. I know that no matter what I put my hands to, shall prosper. I know that if God is on my side, my tree will always produce fruit and I will have no lack in my life. How do I know that? Because my God said that and my God has that available. My God is willing and he is a great God and greatly to be praised. See, how you view God changes everything. If this is your God, you're always in lack. You're always wondering when you're going to break through. You're always hoping that you're going to get healed. But when you serve this God, you know his will for your life. And though hell, come on now, let's be real. We've all gone through hard times. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You see, your faith is only theory until it's tested. Let that sit for just a second. Your faith is only theory until tested. The times that it gets so hard that you're not sure if you're going to survive, that's where your faith is actually tested, where you actually say, you see, the words of your mouth, they're either life or death. You see, you start to declare in prayer what you actually believe, and all of a sudden it's not, oh God, just get me through this. It's, oh God, I thank you that I'm already through this, for if God is for me, who can be against me? I thank you, God, that I can't fail no matter what the problem is. I thank you, God, that you have a divine drop of wisdom somewhere, that Lord, the one thought that I have to have that will bring me over the top, you're going to provide it. Lord, I thank you that God, if I need money, you are the one who can bring the wealth of the wicked to the righteous. You are the one, oh God, who can make a way where there is no way. God, I thank you that I cannot fail. You see, when you understand this, it becomes more than just a philosophical mindset within church and religion. You know, the building you're sitting in, we're celebrating 10 years this year. 10 years. In this building. When I was going to buy this building, actually, when I was going, we were going and to build this building, We went to all these banks. We found a builder. The builder would build it for $700,000 at $25 a square foot, which in and of itself is a miracle. If you know anything about building, this building should have cost us $125 a square foot, and the builder was going to build it for $25 a square foot. Well, you can have a builder who's going to bless you all you want, but without the $700,000, in fact, to actually build this building with the land and so on and so forth, costs $1.1 million. Should be almost $4 million. And so even though we had this phenomenal blessing, here I am with a reality. You see, if I believe in the recycling God, then I'm going to hope that I get enough. Nah, I probably not. That's a lot of money. Not only that, is we started going to banks. So we went to three different banks. You know what they told us? Listen, you're too young. Your church is too young. You have to have at least 9 years under your belt, minimum 9 years. And listen, you got to have a minimum of 30% down if you're going to do anything, if we're even going to work with you. 30% down. You know what that means? You have to have over $300,000 in cash. I think we had maybe $10,000 in the bank. And so it would have been easy for me to just to say, well, you know, I guess it's not God's will. I guess it's not going to happen, you know. I guess, you know, this isn't going to happen. You know, it was just a good pipe dream, you know. Whatever. No, I want you to know something. I don't believe in this God. I believe in the God where there is no lack and there is no impossibilities. I believe in the God who will bless me abundantly above all I could even ask or imagine. And this is what I said. I said, I don't know where the money's coming from, but this one thing I know, that it's God's job to bring the finances, and God's going to open the opportunity. I got a call one day, and the call was, hey, you know, I found there are three banks in America that build churches. Only one of them work with churches under $2 million. You should give them a call. I called the man, Mr. Dusterman is his name, and I said, Mr. Dusterman, you know, we need a mortgage to do this building. We got a phenomenal deal, walking in with equity. He said, that's really nice. Send me your monies. And so we sent them the books. And he said, well, Brother Spencer, you know, that's really close. I mean, are you really sure you're going to be able to make it? You're not really making it here. I said, brother, I just know this. This is what God told me to do, and this is what we're going to do. If you don't help us, the money's coming from somewhere, because he's a God with no lack. He looked at me and he said this. He said, you know what? I'll do it. How about $10,000 down? I said, sold. 10 years later, we've been in this building. Well, why? Because, you see, if your pastor believed in the God of lack, then I would have given up, and we would be in a small, you would not be here today. Many of you would never have been in this building. Many of you would never have been in this church. You would never have come. You would never have been saved. You would never have been filled with the Holy Ghost. You would never have been healed. Why? Because we would have been a little small building down the street that only holds like 300 people. But you see, I know my God. And this is what you got to get a hold of. There's nothing he can't do. He longs to bless you. Oh, but Pastor, I'm even struggling with this and this in my life. Then stop changing. Stop looking at your struggle. Stop calling upon the dead worship God that can't provide for you. Get a hold of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is able to bless you abundantly above all you could ask and imagine. Now, listen now. That means you've got to be a tither, because that's open heavens right there. But not only that, is that means that you are positioned to say, Father, this is your job to take care of me. I love this. I'll end with this verse. And you saw a miracle this morning, under 30 minutes. Matthew 7:11 says this. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? You see, today, you serve one of these gods. You serve the poor, weak, pathetic, poverty God? Or you serve the one true King of Kings and Lord of Lords, where there is no lack and there is no impossibilities? And today, if you are serving the poor, weak, poverty God, then you need to make a change in your life. The Bible says, let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. You want to know why Jesus didn't have a problem asking the Father for anything? Because he knew he'd get it. Just like baby Sophia. She knew she'd get it. You see, you got to make a decision. It makes a direct impact on your daily life. Honestly, there's nothing that I want that I don't get. My children are a witness. My wife is a witness. Those around my life are a witness. Anything that I've ever wanted, I get. Well, why is that? Because I'm spoiled. You see, I know who my God is, and I know that he's able to do that, and I know that he wants to bless me. So whenever I've wanted anything, I've just put my faith in that direction, and I've called those things which are not as though they already are, and I started laying hold of the promises that are in the book. When I've been sick, when my wife was diagnosed with cancer, we had to lean upon this God, not this God. Time and time again, this is so real to us. And every one of us make a choice which God will serve. And today, which God do you serve? See, you can't be depressed and serve him. You can't live in discouragement and serve him. The only way you can live in those zones is when you don't believe that God is able to do abundantly above all you could ask or imagine. Who's your God? Who's your God? Close your eyes with me this morning. See, the one principle that you know that you have to lay hold of is this. One of the greatest promises of God is giving Jesus. And today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the great God wants to give you forgiveness of every single one of your sins. No matter how bad you think you were, no matter how evil you used to live, the one thing for sure is this, is that Jesus loves you so much, he wants to forgive you. He longs to forgive you. He's after you. In fact, right now you feel him drawing you in your spirit. You might not even know what that is, but I just identified it for you. That's God drawing you, saying, listen, this is for you. I'm here for you. I'm here to forgive you. I'm here to change your life. The generous forgiveness of Jesus. Today, if you do not know Christ and you're not sure if you're going to go to heaven if you take your last breath, and you want to be sure beyond a shadow of a doubt, you want to be called the son and daughter of God, you want to be the son, the heir, the joint heir of Christ, you want that for your life, you deserve that. Jesus paid for that. Today, if you want that Christ in your life to be your Savior, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I'm not going to manipulate you. Thank you. Thank you both right there, ladies. You can put your hands right back down. Thank you. Is there anyone else this morning you want Christ Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior? I'm not going to wait long. Come on. Five. Come on. Four. Three. Come on. Get your hand up. Three. Two. Thank you, young lady. You can put it right back down. Is there anyone else? Two. Last call. And one. Let's all stand to our feet. You see, this is the week of Christmas. And today I want you to experience the blessing of heaven. If you just lift your hands to heaven this morning. Father, I thank you for the authority that you have given in the Spirit. God, I thank you that, Lord, when your servant speaks, Lord, your will, you will move upon it. God, this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus, I declare blessing upon the body. I declare people that, Father, are dealing with sickness and disease, maiming and wounding. Lord, we command right now their bodies to come to alignment right now. I command organs to work. I command right now, Lord, bodies right down, Father, to the tissue, to the bone marrow level, to be perfect in Christ's name. Body, you have to respond. Lord, I pray for those that are struggling in their minds this morning. They'll have clarity. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare that those, oh Lord, that are discouraged, that, Father, the spirit, Lord, of depression will be broken over their life, and they'll be free and free indeed in Jesus' name. Lord, I declare that you'll give us a vision this week to reach people for you. That, Lord, next Sunday we won't come without a whole crew of folk that will hear the gospel, and that, Lord, the seed of heaven will be planted in their life. Give us a holy boldness this week, God, to be able to share your gospel with people. Give us a boldness this week to invite as many as we can to the message of salvation. Lord, we thank you. Lord, if there are folks with financial needs and, Lord, they're tithers, I declare that I've never seen the righteous forsaken or received out begging for bread. God, provide in Jesus' name. Lord, that those who don't, that they will repent and call upon the name of the Lord. I know you'll forgive them, and immediately, Lord, you'll meet their need. Father, you're faithful. Lord, we thank you for families in this room. Bless them in Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and your eyes still closed, for those who declared they wanted to be saved, I'm going to ask you to be brave. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar, please. If you raise your hand for salvation, I want you to know that, man, you're about ready to embark on a change of your life that will be phenomenal. If God is for you, baby, who can be against you? We have, if you'll look up here, we have Mindy right over here. And we're going to have you come right out of your chair if you raise your hand for salvation and meet me right here. Why don't everybody just turn to the person next to them and say, if you raise your hand, I'll go up with you. Listen, if they didn't raise their hand and they want to come up, make sure you come up with them. If you raise your hand and you want to give your heart to Jesus, let's give them a hand clap as they come this morning. Don't let heaven outshout you. If you raise your hand for salvation, if you'll just come right on up front right now. Hallelujah. Come on, be brave. Be brave. Be brave. Come on, give them a hand clap. Here they come. Glory to God. You're receiving them into the family of heaven. Amen. I'm very proud of you. Very proud of you both. I'm very proud of you both. Very proud of you. Amen. God's going to change your life. You'll never be the same again. Can I have your hand? Father, in the name of Jesus, just release your anointing. Now, Lord, as they confess you as their Savior, I thank you that they'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Mindy. She's going to pray with you. And we're just so proud. We're going to get your Bibles and everything. Can one more hand clap? Tell them thank you. Listen, maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're struggling this morning. If you're struggling this morning with anything in your life and you just need a faith person to pray with you, these folks here know how to pray, man. They'll call down heaven and you'll see an answer come to your life. So I love you. Make sure you invite as many people as you can next Sunday morning, 9 and 11, our Christmas program. Next Sunday night, 7 p.m., is our candlelight service. We love you. Serve Jesus with all of your heart and have an awesome day. Your God is great.